Hello and welcome to the One Team in Wales podcast, the podcast brought to you by Taff and Daff, where we look back at Glamorgan's last game and look ahead to their next game. No Blake this week, so it's myself, Alad Hopkins, taking over the hosting duties for this week. And with me, Taff and Daff columnist Peter Miller. And there's only one place to start, Pete, so we'll get straight into it. Off the back of Glamorgan's amazing victory against Somerset, back-to-back victories for them in Division One, and what a game at Sophia Gardens last weekend, Pete.
Yeah, not bad. First ever win for Glamorgan in Div One in Wales. So, you know, I mean, granted, before this season started, there'd only ever been one win in Div One in the history of the club. So, you know, it's not as mad a record as it sounds, right? But yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I think, for me, the interesting thing is, I didn't think Glamorgan, I've said this lots, I didn't think Glamorgan would go up last year. I don't think many experienced watchers thought Glamorgan would go up this year. And I don't think many people thought they would stay up this year. But this Richard Dawson-led outfit keeps proving us wrong, right? So I guess the key is to just sit back and enjoy it, right?
I think we've got to enjoy it at the moment, haven't we? Because we don't know how long it's going to last. And coming into this last game before the T20 block, it's all very rosy at Sophia Gardens at the minute, isn't it? And easy to get carried away. But we'll start off at the beginning, and we'll run through first innings, Somerset into bat. And it was a bit of a surprise seeing James Rue trot out for the first time for Somerset. Obviously been talked about a lot in the preseason and in the early part of the season as a potential opening option for England. And we've seen yesterday he has been included in the squad for the first test. Rob Key did say that he will be used as a spare batter. But we saw Somerset promote him up to the opening spot from where he'd been doing so well at number four. And he got out cheaply, didn't he? Tim van der Hooten, who has been on fire so far this season, managed to dismiss him cheaply for four. And it was a perfect start, really, removing a player like Rue with the spotlight on him, especially opening up.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of a hospital pass for him, really, given that he's got to keep wicket as well as open, right? Not traditionally something that's particularly easy to do when you've done 350 squats. And then all of a sudden in the second innings, the expectation is that you walk out to bat. But yeah, I mean, I think Tim's been fantastic again. I think he's just a really solid county bowler. He's just someone who I think when he first arrived, having played, I mean, it's just such a mad punt that Glamorgan took on him, like in a similar way they did with Michael Hogan that worked out really well, right? Like neither of them, when they arrived, were people that you were thinking, oh my God, what a signing. But Glamorgan's done an amazing job in finding him. You know, he played a little bit of New South Wales cricket, played some cricket for Holland, but I don't think anybody would be there thinking when he arrived, when was that? It was what? Before the pandemic, right?
Like he's Yeah. Feels like he's been there since I've been born, to be honest.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think anybody would think all these years later that you would be there going, he's 100% Glamorgan's best bowler. And he is, you know, like just a absolutely consistent bowler. You know, when it was disappointing when Glamorgan didn't get another year out of Hogan. I think that was kind of, I think a lot of fans at the time were a little bit disappointed that Glamorgan couldn't find a way to keep him for that one more year, which he spent at Kent. But Tim has just massively stepped up since that happened, and he's been fantastic and, you know, hasn't necessarily had a huge amount of support as time has gone by. You know, obviously Fernando was great last year when he was around. But, you know, I would say, you know, if you look back at the attack last year, you know, you kind of, Gorvin was probably the next best seamer, right, in 2025. And then I suppose, and you know, I have to give some credit to Glamorgan as well with Ryan Hadley, right? Ryan Hadley's turned up again as a very unfancied pick. I don't think anybody was there, you know. I don't think the Ryan Hadley selection necessarily sold a few more memberships in the same way that there was an excitement. Do you remember, like, you're probably too young for this. This is how long I've been around, Alec. This is the theme of every time I come on this podcast is that I'm a man rapidly approaching 50. When Darren Sammy arrived to do...
Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
And he arrived to do the to be the overseas player in the T20s.
Yeah.
And it was like just a real, but you know, T20 winning captain and, you know, just a real personality. Like I've been lucky enough to get to know Darren quite well. And he's, you know, he's such a charismatic guy. But like, certainly Ryan Hadley didn't do that, right? And like Glamorgan haven't necessarily, you know, or the same way that people were really excited about Marnus turning up, right? And it's like, oh, this is really exciting. But Ryan Hadley, you're like, you know, you're in trouble when you're that much of a, you're that much of a cricket weirdo as the two of us, and you have to Google a guy that they've signed to work out who the overseas is. It's not necessarily a great look, is it? You know, but he's done well as well. You know, like you have to give Glamorgan some credit for picking these. I mean, a whole load of unfancied Australians that have done well for them over a little while, right? In terms of Hogan, Van der Hoogden, and Hadley. So, you know, great stuff. But we are burying the lead a little bit here, Alex, because the story really is a young lad. It's not some Australian
Yes.
man. It's a young lad from Abergavenny.
We'll come on to him very, very soon. Let's just run through the first inning scorecard just before we go on to the rest of it. Somerset ended up making 354. Josh Thomas at the top of the order with a 71 following up from his century last week. As we mentioned, James Rhee with four, Lamonby 45, Archie Vaughan dropping down from the opening spot into number four. Tom Abell then came in with 86, Will Smead 12, Craig Overton 33, Lewis Gregory, the captain, with 37, Pretorius 3, Jack Leach 5, and Jake Ball 9. The bowlers in the first innings, Tim van der Hooten, as we mentioned, with 2 wickets, Tom Norton, who we will come on to in greater detail in a second, with 3 in that first innings, Ryan Hadley with 2, Zain Ul Hassan 2, and then Mason Crane with 1. Glamorgan in their first innings, all out for 229, so with a deficit of 125 in the first innings. Ben Kellaway with 59 had a steady knock coming back into the team. Chris Cook as well, 39. Tim van der Hooten, some more form with the bat, impressive 30, or valuable 30 as well. With the bat. And Asa Tribe struggling a little bit at the moment. 4 again for him. Kieran Carlson couldn't follow up his firepower in the first innings with 21. And then in the second innings, Peter, it all started to go a bit crazy, didn't it? When Tom Norton took that hat trick, he dismissed James Rhee, Tom Lamonby, and Archie Vaughan all in successive balls. On his debut, becoming the youngest ever player to take a hat trick on debut and the first one to do it in over a century. And the celebrations, as you can imagine, were absolutely phenomenal. And what a moment for Tom Norton.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think the wider picture here, like away from Norton, right? Who this might sound like, you know, when you're watching sitting, I didn't make it to the ground. I watched it on my iPad. Just purely because I know this sounds a bit mad. I think I'm bad luck. I've just decided to play stay away. They do better. The touch of Tim Bresnan about him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like kind of like big
Strapping lad, yes,
broad shoulders.
big shoulders, yeah.
Front on action. Word is, you know, and we've not seen a huge amount of this in Glamorgan colours. He can bat, you know, a bowling all-rounder. But I think the exciting thing from a Glamorgan point of view is what it means for the pathway, right? Like I've been covering Glamorgan now for since I think 2011, 2012 was when I first started going and writing stuff about the club, and the consistent frustration that Glamorgan supporters have had. And I said this in the piece that I wrote for Taff and Daff this week, is there's kind of been an element of like, we would rather have a whole load of Welsh lads lose than imports win, right? But the difficulty is that what you've had over the years is a whole load of imports losing. So you have the absolute worst of all worlds, right? And you can't take away the importance of what Glamorgan means to Welsh cricket fans. You know, Glamorgan is the name of this podcast, right, is a club that represents a whole country. There isn't another first-class county in Wales. And Glamorgan obviously has lots of things going against it that Somerset doesn't. And like a really telling stat was, if you look at that 11 players that played in that game for Somerset, you had two guys in there that weren't products of the Somerset system, in Jake Ball, who has come from Nottinghamshire, and Miguel Pretorius, who's come from somewhere in South Africa. And it's pleasing to see Miguel doing well, actually. I got to watch a fair bit of him when he played for the Talawas in the CPL. So, yeah, nice lad. I think seeing Kieran Carlson do well, seeing Tom Norton come in and do well, seeing Ben Kellaway come in and do well, like what we've seen a lot from the Glamorgan pathway is players arriving and not like having okay careers or not really kicking on or moving on. You know, you've had Nye Donald making the decision he was going to the last great hope for Welsh cricket, Nye Donald, who obviously broke his leg away at Hampshire and has then moved on to Derbyshire and has never really kicked on. But you've had him, you've had Andrew Salter, who had a perfectly serviceable first-class career before he decided he was going to go off and pursue his various business interests. You've had David Lloyd, who decided he was moving on to Derbyshire and has now moved on from first-class cricket. And then other players who you kind of felt were going to come in and do well, but never really kicked on. So I'm kind of thinking Kieran Bull, Owen Morgan, kind of like guys who you thought potentially had the opportunity to kind of be someone that's done well. Both those spin bowlers, traditionally spin bowlers, have done quite well in Cardiff. Never really had anybody kick on and start looking at England recognition. I mean, like, probably the closest a talent for Glamorgan has got to for playing for England in the last little while was probably James Harris in 07-ish. I know, like, obviously, the late Tom Maynard was kind of talked about potentially pushing towards that, but I don't think he was quite there as exciting and brilliant as he was to watch. I don't think he was quite, an imminent selection for the England side when he passed away. But I think, to see Ben Kellaway going away with the Lions, to see Tom Norton coming in and doing well, to see Kieran Carlson banging out 1,000 runs a year, that's really pleasing from a pathway point of view. Glamorgan doesn't have Millfield School kicking around inside its catchment area where all of a sudden you've got a whole load of kids that have been given scholarships to come and play and then within the Somerset pathway system. I've got a friend's daughter who's now going in the Somerset pathway, having grown up in Cheshire, but now has gone to Millfield and all of a sudden she's a Somerset player. So, that I think is really exciting. And again, I'm an import. Do you know what I mean? I've lived here for 25 years, but I'm not from Wales originally. But I'm sure as a proud Welsh boy, that means something to you as well, Alan.
Yeah, and I think on your point there about the pathway, I think part of that pathway now for me as well is yes, there is the academy, but with when you think about the Cardiff UCCE scheme as well, I think that's a part of this pathway that Glamorgan have built now. When you think the likes of Asa Tribe has come from there, I know he's not he's from Jersey and he's not originally from Wales or gone through the Glamorgan Academy, but he's come through Cardiff Met University through the UCCE scheme, and has found a way into the first team and into England contention. Dan Douthwaite's another one who's come through that scheme as well. So I think that is definitely a part of it. And then going back to one of the original points about, Glamorgan being a unique county in county cricket and the Welsh representation. I remember speaking to Gemma Porter last season. Obviously one of the main players for the women's team, women's player of the year last season. And she came in on loan from Warwickshire last season. And I asked her about the atmosphere in the dressing room. And one thing she said was, it's like playing for Wales. It's that there is that pride there. And even players who come into that environment, adopted Welshmen like Colin Ingram, like Chris Cook, like Tim van der Hoogte now, I think really feel that as well. They feel the passion from the supporters and from the country, and they really feel like the country is behind this team. And at the moment, as you said, having so many actual Welsh representatives like Kieran, like Ben, and now like Tom coming through, is absolutely brilliant to see.
Yeah, and again, the big thing now for Tom is how he goes about building on this, right? Like it's and I think now what's really interesting is how before it would take a while for guys to figure you out, right? Because you didn't have the level of video analysis that you have now, right? Now you've got the situation that there's an analyst sat, I don't know if people know this, but there's a guy sat watching every single ball, and he records, I think, Chris, who used to do it at Glamorgan, I'm not sure if he's still there now, records something like 12 or 13 different data points in every single delivery, right? And then you've got the added stuff where there's stuff being recorded from the cameras that the on-field umpires are wearing. There's so much more analysis that is available even at county level, where every single ball that Tom Norton has bowled is now logged, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of how you go about carrying on being successful when everyone knows what you're going to do, right? Like that's the sign of a great cricket, right? If you think of the greatest England bowler in in my lifetime by sh for sure is James Anderson, right? James Anderson, no one was surprised what James Anderson was going to do, right? It's really simple. He was just going to bowl on an end and nibble it around. And he still took 700 wickets or whatever he's ended up with, right? Because he did it really well. So what does he need to do now to kick on? What does Glamorgan need to do to look after him? What do they need to do to make sure he doesn't get too ahead of himself? What do they need to do to make sure he's just, you know, I mean, and again, like this is the thing. If he was playing club cricket, right, how many overs would be allowed to bowl? It wouldn't be as many as he bowled. You know, he'd still be under the fast bowling regulations at 19, right? You'll know this more being a more recent club cricketer than me, Alid. But like the fast bowling regulations in club cricket would not have him bowling 25 overs in a day, right? Like, you know, he's still a growing lad, not quite 19, which is horrifying, bearing in mind he's younger than both of my children. Yeah, so it's, you know, it, but that's the key for Glamorgan now with him, right? He's hugely exciting. It's really great to see him coming in and doing well. He's got all of the stuff he needs to have a really successful career. So what does the club need to do to look after him? And it seems that this current setup seems to be doing a pretty good job, right? Like, they're a nice team, this Glamorgan team, right? Like, it's not like there's not a huge amount of ego involved. They're all very, you know, very down to earth. They all tend to look after each other. So I'm really hopeful that'll be the case. But you know, it's one game for Tom, a brilliant game, one he'll never forget, like something that we'll be talking about forever. You know, Tom Norton, you know, what was it? He ended up with 8 wickets on debut, hat trick, brilliant. You know, what does Glamorgan need to do to make sure that Abergavenny-born Tom Norton is the leader of the Glamorgan attack in 15 years' time?
Yeah, it's a valid question, and hopefully Tom can kick on essentially for this season. I mean, this season alone, I watched him, and I've said a few times on this podcast, and I've sort of said to Blake, even ahead of the Hampshire game, I was like, you know, Jim, we were debating whether it would be Gorvin or Jamie McIlroy or we see. And I said, you know, is it a time for Tom Norton? Because I'd seen those performances in the seconds, and you're watching him and you say, God, this fella is, he, there's a good pace on that ball. And he's moving it significantly. And he's got a good action. As you said, he's sort of Tim Bresnan like in his stature. And I just, yeah, I liked the, I liked the way he was bowling in pre-season and in the early season for the seconds. And you know, I'm so pleased for him. But let's get on to the second big storyline from this game. Ryan Hadley, who came out to bat a little bit surprisingly in that second innings as a night watchman, ended up not out, 50 not out, first maiden maiden first class half century. And he faced 231 balls, having only faced 250 balls in his first class career beforehand, and even called himself a bit of a numpty with the bat, which was quite funny. And we've got some, we've got that exact quote actually. So let's listen to what Ryan Hadley had to say about his own batting.
I was telling the boys I hadn't been dismissed since coming over here as a bit of a joke, but I was coming here this morning going, well, boys, it's inevitable they're going to get me for the first time, and here I am, and I didn't get out today either, so it's a miracle. Our 8, 9, 10 have been some of our best batters this year, so, you know, Craney and Tim have scored plenty of runs. Craney scored 99 the other week, and I'm quite happy to stuff behind them. If they're not around, don't tell them, but I should have kept Leachy on. It actually bowled me. That, I don't know if you can see on the stream, that ball nicked the stump and bowled me. Wow. On the.
It looked close.
It hit the stump. Rui caught it and thought it was out, and then the bail didn't fall off, so someone was watching over me today. I don't know who it was, but prayers to the Lord.
And what about the last shot to win, the straight drive?
Yeah, I mean, didn't know how
did
that
you know
had
it on the locker?
No, I've been trying to hit a straight drive for 10 years with all my coaches back home, and I managed to hit two today, so I don't know where that came from either. And that pull shot was the same, and don't play. I usually duck forward defence and nick inside and outside and hope for the best. Yeah, Mum has 3 hours of sleep tonight, so she stayed up and watched the whole thing. My brother was messaging me. They probably can't believe it either. I've always been a bit of a numpty with the bat, to be honest. I only sort of figured out how to play forward defence maybe 5 years ago, and then did the night watching stuff back home on some tricky wickets and against some tricky bowlers. Not that today wasn't, but yeah, I'm sure the boys will be laughing at me more than congratulating me, to be honest. So, yeah.
So we heard from Ryan Hadley there, but what a stand, Peter. 50 off 231 balls, while Sean Dixon at the other end was scoring at a decent rate. He ended up with 76 off 154. and it steered Glamorgan to a 2-wicket victory, where Somerset, it has to be said, they were bowling their hearts out, weren't they? The likes of Overton and the likes of Ball, Pretorius, who ended up with 4 wickets. You know, they did everything they could to dismiss Ryan Hadley, and he just stayed there all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that he's someone who has never, like, there's an element of it, right? This is a bit of a name drop, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's kind of a tradition of Australians who've never necessarily scored lots of runs, coming over and scoring runs in county cricket, right? Which I don't necessarily think is a good thing for county cricket. Like, it's not a flex, is it, to be like, Rob, who's scored 8 runs ever, scored a 50. But Chris Green, playing for Lancashire, scored 100 in the One Day Cup, right? And I sent him a message saying congratulations, but my message saying congratulations is basically like, it's One Day Cup, isn't it, mate? Do you know what I mean? It doesn't really count. And he's like, oh, thanks. I really appreciate it.
A backhanded compliment.
I really appreciate you taking the time to send me a message. But yeah, I mean, you know, brilliant. Like, and again, I think it says something about the setup and the belief that they have in each other.
Yeah.
And that's not what you would have seen from Glamorgan teams in the past, right? The amount of times that I've sat and watched, especially T20 quarterfinals are the ones for me that always make me feel the most downhearted, right? Where you're there going, should have just won that game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there was, do you remember that? The quarterfinal where Jordan Clark just took like 4 wickets for nothing against Glamorgan. Like, yeah. You know, just kind of that kind of fragility, I think, had become something that Glamorgan fans were quite used to seeing.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of like, well, this is a winning position. We should win from here. And then,
falling
over, right?
Well, even last season, when I think back to the Surrey game at the Oval in the T20 last season, I think Glamorgan went out, batted first. I know the Oval's flat. The Oval is notoriously flat. But they go out and make a 222, and you think, that's a win. That's a great score. Anything over 200 is usually a winning score. And they let Dan Lawrence just have one of the career nights of his life, absolutely annihilate the bowling attack. And it was like they couldn't get, you know, when the batters fired, the bowlers didn't, and vice versa. And it ended up with Glamorgan, you know, winning 7, losing 7. And it was very much that pattern of win 1, lose 1. And it was such a frustrating campaign last year. And you're sitting there thinking, we're better than this, you know, this team is capable of more.
Yeah, and what we've seen over the last little while is that they are capable of more, right? Like, you know, and that's the thing, is that's not a bad Somerset bowling attack that they've done that against, right? Jake Ball's played Test cricket. Craig Overton's played Test cricket. Miguel Pretorius is someone who's succeeded, and that hasn't made it to international level, but someone that succeeded in South Africa in franchise T20 tournaments. You've got Lewis Gregory, who has been a solid Div 1 performer for years and years and years and years, right? So I think to have them do that against that and against, you know, adversity, right? They were 5 wickets down for not very many, you know, that's a, you know, and the night watchman to score the runs that he scored, you know, like it's fantastic to see. And it's like hard, like it's hard. Like I find it difficult, right? Because I've been so used to watching this team for more than a decade just be less than the sum of their parts, right? Yeah. Like that's what it's feel like, you know, and I always feel a little bit weird talking about this because my relationship with, I want Glamorgan to win, right? I consider myself to be a supporter of the club, but my relationship's always kind of been much more someone who's tried to watch it as an impartial observer rather than as a fan, right? Don't get me wrong, I've been muttering swear words in the back of the press box or in the stands lots of times where I'm like, it's so much nicer to write about a team winning, right? But like, I don't know, is that, as someone who's grown up a Glamorgan supporter, is that a fair assessment to say that kind of that you know, the expectation that they wouldn't be greater than the sum of their parts was kind of what you thought when this team would go out onto the field?
Yeah, we've always, you know, growing up, whenever I looked at the county championship table and in seasons before where I probably haven't followed the county championship as closely as I do now, And I've looked every now and again to see, oh, where's Glamorgan? Always sort of 7th or 8th in Division 2. And it always seems to be the same. You know, I remember getting really excited in 2017 when we made the T20 finals day, because that was the first finals day I'd ever seen Glamorgan get to. And that campaign leading up to in the group stage of that competition was really fun. And it was probably the best time I can remember watching Glamorgan, particularly Colin Ingram was superb in that season. And he seemed to just be hitting runs for fun every week and just blasting it out of the park. And it was, you know, people wanted to go down to the ground and watch that. You know, people were really, really getting behind that team. And it just never seemed to come together. I mean, I know we've had the two One Day Cup championships in the last sort of 5 years or so, which have been great. It's always great to win silverware, even if it's the sort of Carabao Cup of cricket. But as you say, it's kind of always been, well, we don't expect too much from Glamorgan, and that's the way it's always been.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were to say that Glamorgan would be sat mid-table, having won two games, only lost one match in five games, and Colin Ingram has had one match where he contributed, I'd be like, nah,
you're having a golden duck in this game, a rare golden duck.
You know, which didn't do well for my fantasy cricket because Ingram's first name on the team sheet every single time. Love him. Just absolute, like, I've always rooted for his success. Just what a servant for the club and just someone who's been fantastic. So, like, and, like, interestingly as well, someone who's kind of arrived as this white ball, amazing batter. You know, like, there was amazing One Day Cup innings I saw at Swansea where he was just unreal. Like, just play, I think it was against Kent, and he was just on a different plane to everyone else, but has now become this really solid performer. But it's not, these successes haven't been built on Chris Cook, Colin Ingram, and even to a certain extent, Tim, right? Like, not that Tim hasn't been great, right? But Tim's been, I mean, you know, he's the leading wicket taker, so maybe I'm being a little bit unfair on the guy. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's only been him, yeah?
It's, you know, that's what I've kind of been saying, you know, all season. It seems to be somebody different every week is putting in a big performance, you know, that at the start of the season, it was Colin Ingram against Yorkshire. Then, you know, we come... Notts was a little bit different, obviously a bit of a hammering, but then you come to Leicestershire and it's Mason Crane and Sean Dixon starts to appear, and then it's Hampshire and it's Kieran Carson and Zain Ul Hassan, and then this week is Ryan Hadley and Tom Norton, and it just seems to be getting contributions from all down the lineup in different ways as well. We've seen Kieran Carson get a wicket with one ball, you know, bowling. So you know, it's been great, and they really seem like a unit now that gets on. It seems a really good atmosphere in that dressing room, a relaxed atmosphere, and I think Richard Dawson's done a really good job in keeping that and bringing that atmosphere along with Kieran, because I think their personalities are quite similar in that way. They take a very relaxed and laid back approach, and it seems to be working.
I mean, yeah, just a name that you mentioned there, I think needs to be mentioned in all of this is Sean Dixon, right? After a horror start, right? Like, Norton 2 in the first game, dropped. Like, okay, fine, we're moving on, we're doing something different. Then coming in for Kellaway when he was injured, duck again in the next innings, having been an injury replacement, then what, 20-odd in that defeat against Nottinghamshire. And he's banged up 350s, including a match-winning effort. Yeah. Do you mean, like, that's great. That shows real mental fortitude, right? And that, I think, is what supporters want from their club, right? I think supporters, and there's been times where, like, social media is just feral, right? There's a reason why I'm done with it. Like, I haven't, you know, I'll retweet my stuff that I've done for Blake and for Taff and Daff and for you guys, but, like, I'm done with social media, right? And I get it. But there's been times where, like, people within the club, I've seen them being, like, really frustrated that people are being really harsh on the club, right? And what I've always said is, that's fine, guys. Like, when you need to worry is when people stop being annoyed at you losing. Yeah, like, that's when you need, like, when people stop caring you're in trouble, right? But, like, you'd see, like, you know, the positivity that's absolutely overflowing. It's win games of cricket, and then you don't get criticized. So, like, you know, it's a simple equation, right? Just be good. I mean, if only it were that simple. But yeah, like, I think, you know, it's nice to be watching them. And the big thing for me is that what I wanted for them from this season was for them to compete, right? I was really not, and again, this might just be a jaded old man who's watched too much of Glamorgan. I was not overly ambitious of them doing brilliantly well, right? But what I wanted for them more than anything else was them to compete and not be embarrassed, and for them to look like they belong there. And oh my goodness, do they look like they belong there, right? Like big game next week, and we're going to come on to it, away at Edgbaston. And interestingly, which since I've noticed since we started recording this podcast, is there's another young lad that's made it into the squad, right? Which is really exciting. Is it Jack Hope Bell
Oh yeah,
has
he's gone
been.
well for the twos.
So I mean, that's another 18-year-old from Abergavenny, who's now potentially making a first-class debut. Which, and it must be so much easier as a kid to come into a winning dressing room than one where everyone's like worried about whether or not they're going to get a contract, whether or not they're going to, do you know what I mean? All of that stuff. So that's, I mean, if you could, if you're all of the things that people have said they want from Glamorgan is for them to be winning games of cricket, playing in the top flight, backing local talent, and having success backing local talent, right? And all of those things are happening in Cardiff at the moment, and it's really difficult not to get run away with the positivity. Like I was looking at how many points you needed to stay up last year, right, in Div One, and they're about halfway there after five games, and it's kind of like,
Makes you breathe a little bit easier going into the T20 break, right?
yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, and maybe some of the positivity goes into the T20s, and we could Glamorgan winning in the sunshine with a few ciders, right? That's what more can a man ask for.
Well, let's move on and look ahead to this weekend's game then, away at Warwickshire at Edgbaston, the last game of this block before the T20 blast kicks off in the coming week or so. And Warwickshire are a team going very well at the moment as well. Second in the table, two wins to their name, one loss as well. So a similar record to Glamorgan, but they have picked up more bonus points in that time. And their last time out, a 377-run win against Yorkshire at Edgbaston. And a really good side, Peter. Sam Hain going really well for them. He scored 57 in the first innings and then backed that up with 164 not out in the second innings. So he's a man in form. And you look at their lineup, they've got players like I'm a big fan of Dan Mousley. Didn't do hugely well against Yorkshire, but I think he's a great player. Beau Webster's come into that team as well. Ed Barnard, Jordan Thompson, Ethan Bamber. Some really, really solid county cricket names in there, and they've shown this season that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they go. This kind of feels a little bit like the trip away to Nottinghamshire in terms of the quality of side that you're playing against, right? Very similar record, although Warwickshire have a loss where Nottinghamshire don't. But it's kind of that, side that's full of really experienced players, lots of runs, lots of wickets, the likes of, just coming up against Oliver Hannon-Dolby, who just always seems to do well. Every single year, never made it into an England side, but is not more not a fashionable bowler, right? Like, got to remember the baseball era. We need bowling people bowling at 98 miles an hour, even if they're going at 7 runs and over. I'll come back to my the speed gun is vanity and wickets are sanity theory on cricket, right? Like, talk to me about wickets. Don't talk to me about how fast you're bowling. But yeah, I think it'll be tough. Like, it'll be tough, but you can't have. The thing is, what these two wins on the bounce have given them is it given them some breathing room, right? They can afford to go away and not do well at Warwickshire. And like, again, I think if you're Richard Dawson, obviously a very smart guy, you're looking at the fixtures and you're thinking, right, where do we think we can get points, right? And away at Trent Bridge against Nottinghamshire is probably not one of them. Away against Edgbaston against Warwickshire is probably not one of them. But let's see what we can achieve, right?
This is kind of what I said ahead of the Somerset game. I said to Blake, after that huge win at Hampshire and a decent draw against Leicestershire, where again, those were the two games I thought Glamorgan need to get points from. And they did that. And going into that game against Somerset, who had obviously started the season very well, they were coming off a loss in that game, so weren't as crazy good as they'd started the season. But I said to Blake that this was a good litmus test of where this Glamorgan team had come from that Nottinghamshire game and the lessons that they'd learned from that. And obviously they did learn lessons from that game and obviously came out with a fantastic win. And I think this is a sort of similar game now, of course, going away from home, with conditions potentially favouring Warwickshire again. And you know, Chris Wilkes didn't play in that game against Yorkshire. We might see him back for this game as well. Obviously, international quality, even at the age he is. I think this is another one of those similar games where it's going to be a good litmus test for Glamorgan. And as you said, going away to a place where they probably wouldn't have circled on the calendars to get points from this season, and just play their best cricket and see what they come away with.
Yeah, I they're in a really strong position from a mental headspace, I think, right? Like, you've already massively outperformed what people are expecting you to do. Everyone beforehand, I think most people would have been there saying they're one of the two teams that's going down. They're now sat there on 69 points after five games. They've won two matches on the bounce. Who knows? Like, do you mean, like, this is the thing, is that that there comes a point where you just can't be pessimistic anymore. You know, like, I've said this on the podcast. After the first three games of 2025, I was so miserable about it, right? Two hammering defeats, like, battered, right? And then they should have lost the third game as well, right? They ended up drawing it eight wickets down or something like that, if I recall correctly. And I remember messaging Blake, right? So obviously I'd said to him, look, I'm too busy to go and do the Glamorgan reports anymore. You do them. And I'm messaging him saying, oh my God, what a hospital pass. This is going to be a horrendous season for you. This is awful. All of this stuff, like, it's going to be miserable. And then they didn't lose another game. So, like, you know, I think it'll be tough. I think it's more likely Warwickshire win than any other, you know, they're obviously going to be favourites. But yeah, like, you know, let's see how they go. You know, I think it'll be tough. But yeah, you know, let's be hopeful.
Do you think there's a case, even at this point, after those two wins, and the fact that in two successive weeks, two Glamorgan players have won the Player of the Round award that the ECB is now doing, you know, Kieran Carlson against Hampshire and Tom Norton last week. Glamorgan are the team that everyone's talking about at the moment in the county championship. And obviously it's come because of that hat trick and Kieran Carlson getting a double hundred at Hampshire last week and them getting the first win and all of these sort of milestones out of the way. But do you think on Warwickshire's part that there's not that they're going to fear Glamorgan, but they're going to take a different view of Glamorgan than they perhaps would have done 3 or 4 weeks ago?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think they'll go into it being, you know, confident. I mean, you'll get, if you were to ask that question of a cricketer, right, you would get the media trained answer. Yeah. Every game that we go into is, you know, we
respect the opponent.
We respect the opponent, all the rest of it. But, you know, maybe they're thinking differently when they were doing that same process of saying, right, where are we going to get the points to try and win the county championship this year? They might have been there going, well, do you know what? The game we should be targeting to try and get lots of points is Glamorgan at home. Whereas now maybe they feel a little bit differently, right? What's, like, and I'll say this again, I've said it already. What's really exciting for me is Glamorgan are a side at the moment that are greater than the sum of their parts, right? You know, if you were to look down that, if you were to look at the difference in the lineups, right, from the Glamorgan side to the side that's going to be playing for Warwickshire, right? Like, if you were to come up having not seen anything that had happened so far this year and have a combined 11 of the Warwickshire team that we're going to face, you know, especially with Chris Wokes potentially coming back, and the Glamorgan team, I think you probably only maybe have two or three glammy players in there, right? You might pick Colin. Maybe you would have Tim. Maybe, but to be honest, I'm not. Yeah. If Wokes is in, you probably would. You know, like, it's that kind of.
Yeah.
That's what this Glamorgan side has achieved, is that ultimately, that, you know, they're not necessarily the 11 best cricketers in playing in county cricket, but what they're doing is they're putting together a team performance. And as you said, people are standing up and they're performing. You have to give credit where it's due. You have to be excited about it. It's great. You know, like, just Glamorgan winning two games in a row in the first division of the county championship, guys. Come on. Great.
Any concerns for you about potentially, I mean, Warwickshire in the last game against Yorkshire, first innings bowled them out for 152, then bowled them out for 171, went and scored, you know, got bowled out themselves for 147 in the first innings, but then went and scored 553 for six declared. So clearly not a absolute minefield of a pitch. And yes, Yorkshire haven't perhaps hit the heights that we thought they would so far this season. But, you know, is there any concern of some of the inconsistencies in that Glamorgan batting lineup and what we saw at Notts, where they, to pardon the pun, where they get themselves in knots, that it might start to unravel. You know, you look down that scorecard against Yorkshire, and you've got like Ethan Bamber, I think, took 6 wickets in the game. You've got Hannon Dalby as well, took 4 in the first innings, and then took 3 in the second innings. You know, there's it's a dangerous attack. And do you feel like people who aren't in such nick, like Asa Tribe, has done okay? Questions at the top of the order as well. You know, Eddie Byram's departed that now, and Zane's seems to be opening. Are you a little bit concerned with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wrote a piece after the Nottinghamshire thing, and I said, look, you know, this is confirmed all of the worries that we had, right? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's still inconsistencies in there. You've got, you know, obviously Kieran has got that big score, which is great, but the next guy on the batting averages for Glamorgan is Mason Crane, right? Like, you know, there hasn't necessarily been someone, they've all done fine, but it's not like there's someone who's absolutely rip roaring away. Like, you know, I think it's, you know, for Acer in a season when people were talking about him being an England player to have scored 300 runs at 38 with 350s is completely fine, but that's not what's going to get you to overtake Emilio Gay. It's not what's going to get you to overtake James Rue, right? Like, there's still worries about that top order. You know, I think, again, this is, you know, just, I like the idea that, not that anyone at Glamorgan would ever read anything that I write about the club. Why would they care? But like, I wrote a thing saying Zane's a makeshift option at the top order and then scores 100, right? Like, you know, but there is still that concern that, you know, Zane had never opened in first class cricket before he was given that job, right? Someone else at the Glamorgan have massively taken a punt on. You know, and I think there's been such a long time where Glamorgan has just kind of found makeshift openers, right? All the way back to like the absolute hospital pass that they gave Andrew Salter to get a second mention on the podcast when he was opening. We were giving him all 7 of the games and he ended averaging about 9.5, right? Like, there's been, you know, David Lloyd wasn't an opener and then was given the job of opening. There was a time when Owen Morgan, again, to mention him again, given the job of opening. Like, Glamorgan have kind of put together like a makeshift top order, which at the moment it's working out, right? Like, there's no getting away from the fact that it's working out. But the reason why they pulled off that run chase against Somerset wasn't their top order. It was Ryan Hadley scoring, you know, playing the probably what will remain at the end of his career, the greatest innings of his life, right? So there's still that worry against really good bowling attacks. So, yeah, I mean, there's no getting away from the fact that by Div 1 standards, Glamorgan doesn't have the quality of other teams from a playing point of view. They're absolutely playing out of their skin. But as I said, you look at it on paper, they're one of the weaker squads. And that's not going to go anywhere. And the real test is going to be against teams like Warwickshire away, where you've got that, you know, Ethan Bamber, Oliver Hannon-Dalby, Chris Wokes type attack, which is just going to be making it really difficult for you. So we'll see. You know,
Glamorgan only, you know, at the moment, fifth in the table, only 5 points behind Warwickshire as well. And you know, a positive result here. I think if they can keep in that top half going into the T20 break would be, you know, if you'd offered them that at the start of the season, I'm sure everybody at Safari Gardens would have ripped your arm off. And, you know, even if they don't win the game, a positive result coming away, keeping themselves in that top half, even that top 6, I think is a really positive result, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they are a full win, 100%, you know, 8 bonus points and 16 for the win outside of the relegation zone after 5 games, right? Like, that's great, you know. Obviously, Hampshire have had a bit of a stinker. Leicestershire are struggling. But to be 28 points clear of Leicestershire after 5 games, bearing in mind they're a side that Glamorgan didn't do well against last year, is absolutely fantastic. You know, and if they can get to, as I said, last year, 140 points got you safe. They're now 5 games into the season and they've got 69. It's an unbelievably positive start. This is far and away exceeding everything that I thought. I think I joked with you, didn't I, at the beginning of the season, that if they get 1 win in the championship, I'll be smiling from ear to ear. And here we are, and they've got
already 2 past that, buddy.
Oh, 100%. You know, so we're like, I was writing the preview for this year, and it was like that last, that that time, that 2005 season in the county championship must have been just miserable to be involved in. Miserable. I was a bit caught up in watching England win the Ashes, so I didn't really pay any huge amount of attention, but Jesus, it must have been dreadful.
Every player that played against Somerset is included in the match day squad. Do you expect any changes? I don't think there will be.
Yeah, I can't see. I mean, I don't see, you know, as much as it's great to see Jack Hobell in the squad, I don't know who he comes in for, right, in that top seven. You've got Zane, who's scored 100 a match ago. Ace of Tribe, who I think is going to play every game that Glamorgan can play because they back him. Yeah, I mean, and Ben Kellaway just offers you so much with the bat and with the ball, and is a great fielder. You had Colin Ingram, fantastic. Sean Dixon, you know, 350s in the last three games. And Cook, you know, by his standards with the bat, hasn't blown anybody away, but is looking, you know, will be, you know, is an automatic selection as the wicketkeeper. So yeah, I think it will be a very similar team. But you know, it will be, you know, nowadays with you know, having to travel with a few injury substitutes, you know, so it will be interesting to see whether or not either of them get a game. But I'm not, yeah, I think same 11 would be what I would suspect. But yeah, and it will be interesting when, after the break, what they do to replace Ryan Hadley, right?
Yeah, it will be a sore miss as well, especially after the heroics of last week. It'll be a very interesting game, and we'll talk about the T20 after this game next week on the pod. We'll go in more depth about that. But just to finish up, then we'll talk about the women's team. And again, a nice thing to mention, Megan McCall, after 100 last week down against Kent, has been included in the Scotland squad for the upcoming ICC Women's T20 World Cup, which is taking place, of course, in England and Wales. It's her second involvement in a World Cup squad for Scotland. She was part of the 2022 squad, but didn't play any of the games in that. So, you know, being 2 years old and now 25 years of age, and obviously coming in good form, let's hope that she can make her World Cup debut.
Let's see.
And the women play away in the T20 Cup away to Berkshire on Sunday. Blake will be there at Edgbaston on day four, and we'll talk about the Warwickshire game and the upcoming T20 Blast next week. But that's all from us this week. Let's hope Glamorgan can make it 3 wins out of 3, and we will really, really be in dreamland then. My thanks to Peter, and we will see you again next time.